Welcome to Building Fortunes Radio. Make sure you check us out at buildingfortunesradio.com. Along with our marketing partners, we're here to help our PM Marketing Network Lead customers build their businesses and make the world a better place. At Building Fortunes, we know how much your business means to you and the people important to you. So spread the word, tell a friend, join our newsletter, and go make a difference in your world. Now on to our show with your host, Peter Mingles.
Hello, everyone. Peter Mingles here. You're listening to us on Building Fortunes Radio. It's www.buildingfortunesradio.com for all those people that are unfamiliar with my voice. My name is Peter Mingles. We started this a really long time ago, back in 2012, beginning part of 2013. I wanted a platform that we could have to share different people's opinions, their experiences, their views, and all that sort of stuff, mostly around building home-based businesses. And I knew that it would open up and expand into a whole bunch of things because that's what the building portion of Building Fortunes Radio would mean. Well, I met a customer many years ago who was building a home-based business. Her name is still Sandra Smith. So Sandra Smith and I would have some really cool conversations along the way as a customer, and she has a really great story about how she survived health, you know, her health, I'm going to call her health scare, and as a result of that, we used to have some really nice conversations, very long, sometimes way late at night, and there was something about the conversations we had. We were always on kind of like the same page, even though we didn't know each other before. We kind of like had parallel thoughts, if you will, certainly running in the right directions. Well, recently she kind of reconnected with us and told me that she had moved from over there, I'm pointing, to over here, and I'm pointing over there. So when she moved, mostly for family purposes as well, be around those great-grandkids because they don't stay young for very long, one of the things that she said is she also was going to kind of pursue a career as a holistic health coach. And I said, well, that's very interesting. And she said, well, here's the thing. Like, no one knows besides you, Peter, that I'm enjoying a career as a holistic health coach. I said, I think we can fix that. We have a radio show. Maybe we should do some radio shows. We'll let some other people know. I playfully say, not promoting and advertising your business is a little bit like winking in the dark. And for those people that have never heard that expression before, like I didn't when I never heard that expression before, I said, winking in the dark, what the heck's that mean? It sounds kind of creepy. It's like, well, if you're winking in the dark, only you know you're doing it. And I said, that makes sense. So let's go. Let's do some radio shows. So we've been doing this for many months now. If you go back to buildingfortunesradio.com/Sandra, S-A-N-D-R-A, you'll be able to hear the previous radio shows. And some of them are kind of like in sequences or have some themes. And if you go to her website, holdontohealth.com, no tricky words, no tricky spelling, holdontohealth.com, you'll be able to hear the radio shows. I think she's got some on the blogs as we speak. So there's a lot of really cool things going on. So we picked different and various topics. And for those people that are listening in, I know that a lot of our Building Fortunes radio listening audience is entrepreneurs, or they are entrepreneurs. They're fun-loving people. They're out-of-the-box thinkers. But they love their pets, P-E-T-S. They love their pets. They got dogs in the background. It's great background noise. You might even hear it as the FedEx guy knocks on my door, maybe even during their radio show. You'll hear maybe cows mooing, less occasionally, but you'll hear cats scrambling across keyboards, and you'll hear birds chirping in the background, and sometimes it's their battery charger that they need to replace the battery that I have to remind them of because they kind of silence that out. But the reality is we love our pets, and some of our pets we pick, and some of our pets we don't, depending on your variation of the description of the word pets. And we're going to be talking about a little bit of that today, as well as probably on previous radio shows, because this one could be one that flows over to many others. So, Sandra Smith, thanks for being here on your own radio show.
Thank you, Peter. Thank you very much. And as always, when I hear you begin our introduction, I find myself thinking, maybe I should talk about that. Maybe I should go down that path. Now, I come prepared to talk about what I'm going to talk about because, you know, I am into education and helping people learn. That's where I feel my calling is and has been since I was in the first grade. And so the thing has always been I've loved learning, and I want to be a lifelong learner, and I still am, but I must say I don't have great-grandkids. I have grandkids who are great, but they are my grandkids. And when you said that, I'm like, I'm not their great-grandmother. I'm their grandmother. And so helping people learn is where my focus is. And what is it that we need to know? Well, we need to know things that we don't know, whatever those things are, that could impact our lives, that could change the way we think, the way we maneuver, manipulate, operate, the way we go about our lives. So many things that we just don't know. And I realized a couple of weeks ago we were talking, and the thought of knowledge being power came up. And I remember you're saying that it's not the knowledge that's the power. It's what you do with what you know when you need it. Is that paraphrasing what you said pretty clearly, Peter? Well, knowledge.
I had you muted out because I was afraid that the FedEx guy is going to knock on the door. I sometimes say knowledge is power. Some people say knowledge is power, but I kind of expanded upon that a little bit, not to try to embellish on somebody else's thought process. But the reality is that knowledge is power when it's applied when you need it. And then, you know, subtitled, otherwise it's kind of like a waste of time.
Otherwise it's kind of like a waste of time. You're right.
It's kind of like a waste of time.
Waste of time. So what is the point? What is our point? Our point is to get to know things that we can quickly relate to when we need to relate to it. Because if we don't know that we need to cover our cough when we have this hacking cough and we're coughing into the air, into the world, what good does it know? Well, I mean, what good does it do you to know that you cover your cough with whatever you need to cover it with, whether it's your armpit or your inside of your elbow or your towel or whatever? You need to have the knowledge ready. It has to be handily available. And that's what we're trying to do each week, to bring something to the table that can be handily available. So today I'm going to talk about the notion of our animals and our pets, whether they're in barns or in our homes, what our research in alternative medicine practices has shown us is that spending time with our little animals, our furry friends, it could promote diverse, healthy microbiome. And so the thought of that, it was so intriguing to me until I pursued it more deeply. Now, my family is a pet family. We don't have a pet right now, but I was raised with pets. My children were raised with pets. We had pets for almost 36, 37 years. Our cat lived until he was 18, and so did our dog. And it's like, we know pets. We have done pets. But we never thought of any kind of connection between our health and our pets. And so just recently, in fact, back in 2016, a group of our investigators, and this is where my investigative journey started, looking at and doing research on who's doing research on what. And some of our alternative investigators noticed that there was something peculiar happening among children in two farming groups. Now, that's important to me because one of those farming groups I am very familiar with because when I moved from over there to over here, the over there was in Indiana. And so they looked at an Amish group in Indiana. And they looked at a Hutterite group in North Dakota. And these are people who live off the grid as we know it without electricity, and they travel using the horse and buggy still. And so that really attracted me in terms of my primary focus, which is on gut health. And I had to read and dig and really research to find the connection between what my primary focus is as a healthcare practitioner, as a wellness coach, focusing on helping people get over the overwhelm when they have some kind of trauma in their gut. So that being my primary focus, connecting this dot was something I was very interested in doing. And so looking at these groups of people, we found that Amish children rarely got sick, and they rarely suffered from anything like asthma. And among the Hutterite kids, we saw the same kind of effect. And so they determined that it was the gut microbiome that was in charge of training the immune system and the ability to fight off certain allergens. That's what the microbiome does. It trains the immune system to keep us healthy and fight off different allergens. However, the Amish and the Hutterite kids had similar genetic backgrounds and lifestyles. These kids were different. There was a different presentation in their health. So both of these groups come from farming diets and a farming background. They have just a little bit exposure to polluted air. They vaccinate their kids, and they have really clean homes. They don't keep traditional pets, though, such as dogs and cats in their homes. So that, I thought, was pretty interesting. So where are they getting the bacteria from? So the key difference, though, that was discovered was between the two groups that affect their immune response. So the children that were examined had quite different genetic profiles, and that confirmed the similarities between the two groups, the Amish and the Hutterite children. But the first moment of clarity really came when these researchers compared types of immune cells in the children's blood. And so they were digging deep here. So they are not investigators that are surface people. They're digging deep. So the Amish children determined had more and younger blood cells that were crucial to fight infections. They had more blood cells, and they were younger blood cells that were crucial to fight infections. And so as far as the other children were concerned, their biome did not reflect the number of blood cells that the Amish children had that helped fight the infections. Amish children have more and consistent exposure to farm animals. So the Amish live with their, and not they don't live in barns, don't misunderstand me, but they live close to their farm animals, whereas the Hutterites place their barns far away from the homes. You know, they're pretty, all of them are clean people, but the Hutterites live on large communal farms, and they don't have objection to electricity, but they house their cows, their animals, far away from their homes. And that was something that the researchers found to be very interesting, and I find to be very interesting and crucial. The Amish live much simpler lives. They don't use electricity either. And they still rely on, the horse and buggy as their transportation. But, as I said, their homes are close to their barns where their children play all the time. Okay? And so the research revealed that the microscopic particles that were present in the house dust from the Amish homes, but not present in the dust from the Hutterite homes, were able to engage and shape the immune system. Well, microscopic particles engage and shape our immune system, period. But in this case, particles that were shaping the Amish children's immune system caused them to be healthier. They had a greater degree of health. The body's response to what they did was stronger, if you will. And so in the world that we live in, there's a growing urge just to banish bacteria from our lives. I must say that I was guilty. And really, this was a real eye-opening research experience for me, because I have tended to be one of those clinical people with a clinically clean home and bathroom, and I still believe in a clean home and bathroom and clean kitchen and everything clean and not a particle anywhere. So unrealistic, and it works one to death. I'll try to get to maintain that. But being too clean creates the risk of filtering out microscopic bacteria that our gut and our immune system need to stay healthy. And I thought, oh, my goodness, just think about that, that being too clean, trying to banish bacteria from our lives, creates a real risk of eliminating the microscopic creatures that live with and among and upon us that our immune system really needs to stay healthy. And I thought, my goodness, I have to change my life. I have to change my lifestyle. So just as children benefit from mingling with the cows and the horses as the Amish children do and bring that dust inside, for us, and we're not going to have that experience, the average person isn't, but exposure to the microorganisms that come with our pet dog and help keep a person healthy, even if we aren't on the farm. And the research has shown also that it's also true with cats, more with dogs, because dogs are outside more. We walk them, and you see them as they walk, and you see what they do as they walk and what they sniff and eat. And, oh, okay. And cats, we don't walk. Our cats are homebound for the most part. I'm a dog person, but we adopted her because she lived with us 12 years. A cat that was our oldest daughter's cat, they should have kept the cat, but when the first child was born, the first baby had been this cat, and they had this cat for 8 years, so she was a full-grown cat. But when the baby came along, they just couldn't see the cat in the home anymore, and now I'm realizing, what a big mistake. They should have kept the cat. They wanted the cat to survive and live, so they pawned the cat off on us. And so I became a cat person for the next, 8 years. And during these times, we are pretty healthy people, never connected having an animal in our home with our health, with our health. But what we have discovered in our research is that owning a dog increases the levels of different classes of bacteria for up to about 56%. And while having a cat, it boosted 24%. And so homes with pets, dogs in particular, tend to have more and different species of microbes. That is, they're much more diverse than with the cats. And so this was and is and does present itself as a very interesting and informative phenomenon to me. The knowledge this is very beneficial and will prove to be, I hope, for my clients, because I can encourage them. I'm not going to say go out and get a dog or go out and get a cat, but I might at different times. If they have children and they are open to having family pets, I certainly at this point will now encourage it for them. And so I encourage it for you too. So as time goes and as research goes and as information is acquired, we can see that there's a connection between the microbes that allergies from developing and the microbes that affect our digestive tract. And I thought, oh, my goodness. And in the past, like, decade, the last 10 years, still, it's early, but we can see that exposure to animal bacteria can trigger bacteria in our gut to change how they metabolize our transmitters, our neurotransmitters that have an impact on, guess what? We talked about this several weeks ago, our mood. Think about having a pet and the effect upon your mood from time to time. You come in from work and there's that little animal waiting for you and it's exhilarating. You smile, it smiles, and it does affect our mood and it affects other mental functions. What an interesting concept, but not one too difficult to understand. Our cats and dogs, our pets, certainly help make us happy. That's the bottom line there. And most bacteria in our environment are good, or at least they don't care much about what they do. They just exist as we do. And that means that most environmental bacteria transported by our pets are innocuous. They are there. They're going to live their lives as we live ours. But in the balance of life, those bacteria living their lives and not being wiped out with the bleach and the Purex and the awful things that we use in this toxic way to clean our homes. And I hope you're not using bleach in your home or in your laundry. It is highly toxic. But those things help destroy the microbiome balance in our guts as we try to eradicate them from our homes. And as researchers are still learning more about our little furry friends, what can we do to protect them? You know, I was thinking about that when I saw that question some time back, and it just dawned on me the number of commercial ads that we see on television that promote healthy food for our animals. I mean, I love the ones where we're talking about our animals are eating whole food, like we're eating whole food, not what we're eating, but yes, plant-based food sources. And what we can do to protect our animals is to make sure that they are getting healthy nutrition just as we are, because yes, they can get sick and can be counterproductive as far as helping to maintain our health balance in our gastrointestinal tract. You don't want your animal to get something in its gut because it could certainly easily be transferred to yours, something negative or, you know, that's not healthy. So you keep your animals vetted. And if you're, you know, just a lover of animals and you want to feed the strays, then that's fine. But of course, they won't come into your home, and you don't just feed them junk because it could make them sick. Just a little sidebar here. I participated with one of my children in a program for homeless people where the donations that were given to this organization were curated and shelled and put together for these trucks that go out into the homeless community to give people things that they need to help support them. Well, speaking of eye-openers, I had no idea that our homeless communities have pets, as many of them do. And so this organization that I went to work with my daughter just, you know, that weekend, my job was to bag dog food. One of my colleagues' job was to bag cat food. It was the most interesting thing I'd see. So we were, people were, you know, folding linen and packaging shirts and shoes and things, and also bagging. I mean, we had just loads of dog food that we would put in little Ziploc bags and put over in the boxes so that they could do what? Give it to their homeless people who had pets. And I just, it blessed my heart to see that and to experience that. And, you know, thinking about that, helping the people who have less than do the best that they can do to show love to their own animals, just like we do in our homes. You know, we can perhaps purchase the things that are advertised on TV to give to our animals. Those people can't. But there are organizations throughout our country that do take that into consideration and reach out to help those people. And it's a, it is a good thing. And so I know Nestle and Purina, just to toss that out there, are organizations that contribute to homeless people to help support animals. So, you know, we look for reading, you read the labels on your dog food and your cat food. So it's good news for animal lovers everywhere that our four-legged companions can diversify our home's microbiome. Just think about that. You know, maybe most of you had thought about that. Maybe you knew that. Maybe this is nothing new. But it was new to me, and I appreciate so the concept of being a lifelong learner, because in that environment, you learn as long as you have life, as long as you live. And as I said in the beginning, you know, I just really feel compelled to transfer whatever it is I know that I've learned to anyone who's willing to hear it or listen or who needs it. And I don't mean just surface stuff. I go deep. And as a certified wellness, holistic wellness coach, I'm ready, willing, and able to work with any of you who have questions about your own gut health, about health in general, about your immune system, about inflammation, about antioxidants, about all kinds of things. I know Peter brought up the notion of apple cider vinegar a few weeks ago, and wow, I use it daily, and I had never, ever thought about, you know, training or teaching on it, but that changed, and I did a segment where I talked about it. And so as we go forward, there will be other things that I will continue to talk about, and you can always reach me on my website. I have a calendar there. It's holdontohealth.com. That's www.holdontohealth.com. You can book a phone call with me. We can call. We can talk and chat. If you have needs, area of needs in your health, we can look at doing a health history and finding out if there is something that we could do together, can work together to better your health journey, because that's what I do. There you can also email me there, Sandra@holdontohealth.com. And let me put this out here. It is holdontohealth.life. That is a dispensary. It's an online dispensary. It is my dispensary where I give access to people who are wanting supplements and are going to the vitamin shops to get them. And so I have my own access as a practitioner, and I give that access to people, period, people who whose path I cross and people, my clients, and so then to you. So with that in mind, Peter, are you back? Did the UPS man come?
Nope, no UPS man, but we got distracted by a couple of dogs while we're here, so I had you on mute. But all great information. You know, this hopefully this one we kind of get a chance to expand upon, because this is a favorite topic of mine, and also an opportunity to kind of interact a little bit with some of the stuff that's going on, because there's all kinds of pets. You know, you have your dogs, your cats, you have your turtles, your snakes, your birds, all that sort of stuff. And probably each one probably brings benefits and maybe has some hazards as well. So we could talk about that as well as how it might impact different people with different things. We have a wide listening audience that might be listening to us, and they have kids. Or I know we had to get rid of our cats when we started having kids. I think we did. I don't remember. Oh, it doesn't matter. But anyway, we got rid of cats because we had kids and some of them were allergic. So there's a whole bunch of issues, and whether, you know, we did the right thing or the wrong thing, we'll never know. But the reality is that pets and the biome and pets and humans, I think, are stuff that we can talk about for a really long time. So look forward to that. But for those people listening in, make sure you hire holistic health coach Sandra Smith. If you go back to holdontohealth.com, you can do the calendar thing. You can find her contact information and call her directly and use her for her great services. There's a wonderful amount of information here, and you're fun to talk to as well. So most of the times, you know, we get wrapped up into all sorts of cool conversations, and I know you probably can do that as far as helpful hints for your customers too. So check her out, holdontohealth.com. And we're done, Sandra. So we will see everybody. Believe it or not, we're already into August. This is crazy. It's crazy. 8 months into it. We'll be talking about the holiday season pretty soon, so we'll be back real quick, and we'll see you next time. Thanks, everyone.
You've been listening to Building Fortunes Radio on buildingfortunesradio.com. Thanks for listening. Be sure to check us out every Friday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time for the designated Building Fortunes Radio segment with Peter Mingle. Be sure to check out the buildingfortunesradio.com website for our featured segments. It's been our privilege to have you listen in. At Building Fortunes Radio, we wish you the success you deserve and are willing to work for. So spread the word, tell a friend, join our newsletter, and go make a difference in your world.